adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Sharon Osbourne is our guest tonight, along with Jack Osbourne. Ozzy, who was supposed to be here, is not here, but we have Jack filling in for his old man. Sharon, how is Ozzy's okay?
Just Ozzy's tired? Great. Yeah, he's in the middle of his Ozfest tour, and he has a show tomorrow night, and as we left, he was asleep.
Hmm. That's good.
Yes.
And
he said I was that Corolla guy anyway.
like he knows.
No, it's all right. Dr. Drew always gives him a hard time, and he's like, I'm in the middle of my tour. I can't take this.
He doesn't
I'm
need to face
bed.
Me. That's right.
He doesn't want to lecture.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Drew is sort of the buzzkill. Drew, I remember once producer Ann and I walked in here one night, and Drew was like, who drank a beer? Who's been drinking beer? And me and Ann got all panicky and started sweating. I was like, back in high school. I was like, I had a glass of wine with dinner. Uh-huh. With dinner. How many glasses of wine? How much dinner? It's like, and I'm thinking, I'm 39. At the time, I was 37 or something. I was almost crap myself. But it's hard to slide one past Drew's. About the only thing he does well. Sharon, so we got to talk about Ozfest. We got to talk about Sharon's new syndicated show, which is coming out on the 15th, which is going to premiere on the 15th of September.
Yes.
We got Jack here. Jack, you're sober now, yes?
Ask
Dr. Drew, see if he can smell anything. The sniff test.
We can talk about that if Jack's comfortable with that. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. So first let's do Oz. Oh, we got the TV show. The TV show last season, right?
The one that's airing now?
Yes.
Do you know what? We always say this each time it comes around that a season's finished. We say, we honestly don't know. The four of us have hardly had a minute to sit down and discuss it. We don't know. We've got to sit down and see what we all want to do.
I was kind of thinking about the Osbournes today. I mean, not the show, you guys are. I don't know if you can tell the difference anymore.
No, you're thinking about the Osbournes.
And I was thinking, well, I wonder how they are for money. And then I thought, they got to be doing real good for money. And then I thought, well, if they're doing pretty good for money, why the push? You know, I mean, why the grind? And then I thought, because it's the idea that money's out there and that you're not getting in on it. Is that what motivates?
Or
do you need the money? Or is the monthly nut so big that it just takes a ton coming in to keep the Osbourne machine going?
Well, there's little bits in everything you said. Yes, the Osbourne machine is big. And I think anybody that gets to a certain position in this business, just by the nature of it, you need a machine to keep you going. And it's not like we have chauffeurs and butlers and chefs, but you need a whole staff of people. And there's four of us that are now in the family working. So, yes, we have a huge overhead with that. But we have a standard of living that we want to keep.
Yeah, but
at the same time, too, I mean, what am I going to do? I have never been the sort of woman that stays at home and bakes bread and cookies. I don't do that. I don't go out for massages and facials. What would I do with my time to be productive?
Maybe not be productive.
I can't do that. It's just not within
me. You can't do it, fine.
I've been working since I was 15, as Ozzy.
Give it a break. That's
but
what
I
I'm
know
saying.
Nothing else. It's like I would wake up in the day and what am I going to do?
Would you
call a girlfriend, go talk gossip?
Yeah, because that's normal.
No, it's not. Then you end up in trouble. Then you end up, you have the trainer. Then you end up stupping the trainer.
Yes.
Then
No. I mean, no. I guess what I'm saying is, I'm just getting philosophical here. And I think Drew does this a little bit. I think everybody kind of does this. What I mean is you create a ship that you have to constantly shovel. You have to stoke that fire. You got to shovel coal like mad to keep this huge Osbourne ship moving forward. And so in order to keep that coal coming in, you just have to keep the work coming in. But at a certain point, I just wonder if you get too many balls up in the air in your juggling act.
Well, a lot of people do. I've always done that, and I kind of feed off that. But it's like, you know, you look at people like from years ago. You look at people like Bob Hope. Why did he keep working till he was 80 plus? Why did Frank Sinatra? Why did Dean Martin?
I think
they were motivated. They loved what they did. So that's why Ozzy does what he does. He performs incredibly well. He loves the feeling the audience give him. Mm-hmm. His whole thing is performing live, not the studio. Hates the studio, hates all of that. But his whole thing in life is performing. So if he can still do it and people still want to see him, why not?
Well, but I watched the show and I see you telling him you got to go out tomorrow night in Austin. And he says, I don't want to go out tomorrow night in Austin. I'm tired.
Oh, that's his whole thing in life to moan. He moans. And then when I said to him this year, right, Jack? I said to him...
Don't do
the Ozfest this year. Let's stay at home. Let's have a summer at home. Let's spend it together. I can't do that. I have to go out. People are counting to see the show. There's no way I can do that.
That's what we call ambivalence.
Yeah, and then I give him the tour dates, and he's like, this is fantastic.
Shut up, I'm ready. Well, is there, do you think, I am just asking questions, but I get this feeling, too, that with a lot of people, and I don't mean this in a judgmental way, but once you stop doing what you're doing, then you cease being Ozzy Osbourne at a certain point, you know what I mean? Or whoever, Frank Sinatra, fill in the blank that people were talking about historically. Yeah. Like, once you stop, you're sort of not that person anymore.
Or you're at least afraid you're going to lose that person or that connection with something very rewarding.
Right.
It's hard to lose that if you're used to
it. It is.
I mean, Ozzy, not me. I mean, but Ozzy's been used to being Ozzy since he was 18.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been doing this since he was 18 years famous since he was 18.
And I've heard you talk publicly about his traumatic childhood, too.
Yeah.
And if you're aware of Ozzy, had a really traumatic upbringing.
Well, I know it was, like, just porn. There was some booze. And
there was a lot of stuff.
More than that.
Sexual abuse?
Ask Ozzy. But
get him on the horn. He was supposed to be here tonight. What happened?
But the point is, you know, Adam, that trauma creates a running.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to say sexual abuse. It's just you guys put a puss on.
Why does it have to be sexual? There's other kinds of abuse.
You know why? Because I say
you just want it to be.
No, here's why I say.
Yes,
you
want
say,
the dirt,
I say.
All.
I say poverty, alcoholism, and people go. that's it's sexual. And now we just go to the next
one. No, we said a lot of abuse.
He's had a lot of abuse.
And I actually was thinking more in terms of sort of physical stuff
when I was
But be that as it may, you know that trauma creates sort of a need and a running.
Yeah.
You know, it stokes.
Here's what trauma makes, like the Madonnas of the world. You know what I mean? It really fires. It either kills you or just puts you on a rocket to the moon.
Yeah.
And it actually kills. Most of people just get depressed, but some get highly motivated and push through it, and that's what that creates. Yeah. Jack, where are you going to get your drive?
No, I was just curious, what's Mom's excuse?
Yeah. Well, grew up. Yeah, your parents were affluent and everything, but you had your own kind of trauma, right?
Yeah, but my parents
Your dad sounds like a serious ball buster. I mean, I've seen, like, I don't know what it was, Behind the Music or something, like your dad, like disowned her, wanted to put a hit on her. I mean, your dad was a bully.
Yeah, a bully he was.
He's nice now, though.
He's nice. But you know what? Now he's, like, nearly 78. He's a nice guy, and, you know, people change. But at the time that I was growing up, he was a big bully.
Yeah.
But you know what? If he hadn't have been that bully to me, and he hadn't have made me go out and work at 15... and gave me that work ethic, I probably wouldn't have been the woman that I am today.
Yeah.
I would have probably tried to be that woman to go and find a rich guy and, you know, be stooping the trainer or the pool guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
I mean,
so.
You should still hate him, though. Don't talk yourself out of hating him.
No.
I saw that Behind the Music. It's horrible.
And horrible likes guy. To hang out with people who hate their parents. See?
Yeah, come on.
Everyone's going to hate their parents.
Just go ahead. It's liberating. Jack, don't you dare hate your parents.
Except you.
Don't even think about it, Jack.
Sharon's got a show, her own show, coming out September 15th.
Yes. That's right.
Check your local listing. It's syndicated throughout the country. And they need audience.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. And so if anyone is interested in being an audience member of Sharon's new show, It's the number to call, and it's at, in Los Angeles at KTLA at Tribune on Sunset, 323-960-4677. 323-960-4677 to be in her audience.
And this is...
every day.
Every day.
When do you start? Have you started?
Yeah, we're starting filming actually Monday.
Are you nervous?
No.
She's done a bunch of practice shows.
Yeah, I did a lot of practice shows, and I'm real confident.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of... I think you have the right temperament for it and the right personality for it.
I hope so.
As opposed... I don't know. It's like sometimes they get these country singers to do it, or they get... I don't know. It just seems like... You're relaxed, or you're comfortable in your own skin. Or at least honest,
no,
or something.
I am comfortable in my own skin. I am, and I like to feel that I'm honest, and I like to feel that, you know, I'm open to anything and accepting, so nothing can shock me.
Is the show? What's the format? I mean, it's going to be a daytime. Sorry, Jack.
He's laughing at me after what I have just said.
No, I was just thinking about
I was just thinking.
It's like. What if, like, Mom has, like, a show, it's like, you know, the first one, my best friend's ex-dog's owner was sleeping with my cat.
Is that?
No,
what is
that's
gonna be
not...
The theme?
That's love line.
That exactly is not the sort of thing that I'm going to deal with. That doesn't interest
sure.
me at all.
What are you going to... I mean,
that,
you don't...
That's TV, Mom.
Is it going to be different? What's going to be different about it, if so?
Me.
Good answer. Because you know what? You're right.
Because I'm not a journalist, mm-hmm. okay? I'm not particularly well-educated in anything other than life. So I'm doing it as a layman's point of view. I'm just somebody in the audience that was lucky enough in their life that now has this job. That's all. I'm just one of that audience.
Are you going to get guests who are celebrities, or are you going to get them from, you know?
I'm going to get a lot of celebrities, but I'm going to hopefully be able to interview them in a different way and not ask the run-of-the-mill questions about, you know, are you excited about this new movie and
right.
what was it like working with this director? Because the guy in the street doesn't care. You know, they really don't. They want to know more intimate things about that celebrity. I want to interview celebrities. I want to interview the person that works at Ralph, the guy on the street with a trolley. You know, I want to interview everyone.
Are we in... We in turn of the century England now? What's trolley?
Get out of here.
Trolley.
Oh, a shopping trolley. A
shopping trolley.
Don't you call them shopping cart. A shopping cart,
oh,
sorry.
Okay. All right, no, that's good. And you're going to put Drew on? Drew wants to go on. He's got a book to hawk.
As if I wouldn't have Drew on. Of course
okay,
I'll
good.
Have Drew.
Yeah,
you are the weakest link.
he's good daytime. And Jack, you're sober. What was it? Was it alcohol? What was your drug of choice?
It was a lot of things.
A lot of things. You don't have to. You can talk about as much as you're comfortable talking about. You don't have to.
He's saving it. He's being. We're not talking about drugs tonight.
All right, but you're sober and things are good.
Things are real good.
And you went. Now, did you talk to Drew? You're not allowed to talk about this stuff on the air, right? And Drew's shaking his head. So I know Drew. You know, it's Drew's business, and we don't have to all get silent and weird. But I mean, yeah. Hey, Drew, keeping tabs, yeah?
I should watch out for Jack?
Yeah, right. Keep an eye on him.
You know, I'll talk at the break.
That's all I'm saying. You guys talk during the break.
All right.
We can say in everybody's... I mean, you know, Dr. Drew was a big part of Jack's recovery. That's all we want to say.
Okay, good. He's a good man.
Yeah, a very good man.
All right. He can...
Shame he's not a traitor or a bull man.
All right, let's go to the phones. Ozfest going. I'll give the tour dates. I'll give the bands that are on it and all that after we take a couple of phone calls. Let's talk to Jennifer, who's 20. Jennifer.
Hi.
What's up?
I've got a couple questions for you guys. I was hoping you could answer. It has to do with my husband.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, for one, I'm pregnant. My baby's due in October, and since my husband's like a month and 6 days younger than I am. But since we found out that I'm pregnant, our sex life is, I don't know how to, I guess depleting is the best word that I could explain it as.
How pregnant are you again?
She's 6 months.
6 months.
Yeah. It's supposed to deplete.
Well, actually, the third trimester, one of God's many tricks on humanity is many women in their last, when they're most pregnant, get very aroused.
Well, it's not. It's not.
It's not her. It's him, maybe. Oh.
It's not that he's not aroused.
No, no, no. I'm saying just Jack. But listen, Jack just thought that when you're pregnant, you sort of shut down sexually.
No, no, no. I'm just saying you're not supposed to have sex. You knock holes in the thing's head.
That's right. That's how nostrils were invented. True. You guys didn't know that?
Of course I did.
Well, true. It's a doctor. Surely it's a physician. All right, listen. All right, where's... I'm going to get Jennifer. Fine. Jennifer's a pain in the ass. Tell already. Jennifer?
Oh, thanks.
Right. Well, what was a month and
Calm
six
down.
Days got to do with it?
Yeah,
longer?
I don't know.
I didn't get that.
Anyway,
yeah.
So he's not into sex right now, right?
Well, it's not that he's not aroused. It's just that he finishes way before I do. Like, way... Like, 2 minutes into it. And it's frustrating. I told him today that he was a two-minute tease after every, you know, couple days.
You think he's aroused by your state? The fact that you're real pregnant?
Well,
some guys are into that.
Yeah. I don't trust them.
Prego porn.
That's nasty.
No, I'm just saying that he's really into it, and that's why he's finishing so fast.
Well, I don't know if it's that, but like it's right after we found out.
Hold on a second. Let's talk about Jennifer. Why is she so pressured, and why does she ignore everything you say and sort of power past it?
Because she's decided what the problem is, and she's not going to listen to anything
we have
to say.
Yeah, and the thing is, all I can say is I've been pregnant 6 times, okay? I lost 3 babies, but I still went like, you know, a long way into each of my pregnancies.
Checkmate.
And
it,
to
right?
be, yeah, to be 6 months, again. To yeah. be 6 months pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and complaining that your husband comes within 2 minutes, she should be lucky. She's one sick son of a whatnot.
Dude, yeah. The kid's gonna have like dents in its forehead.
It's true. He's a physician. Jennifer.
Yeah.
Okay, so how was he before you were pregnant?
Probably about 5 minutes.
And was that a problem?
Not so much. At least I, you know, got my enjoyment out of it.
Just barely, huh?
Are you angry at him?
I don't know if it's anger, more frustration.
Well, that's probably anger. And does he give you oral sex?
Oh, God, no. It's against his religion.
What religion is he?
He's Muslim.
Oh, he is?
It's against the religion?
Yes, it is. Oral sex is against
it's against the religion to do anything that chicks want him to do, basically. It's just a general umbrella. You want to do what? You want to drive? Nah, sorry, bitch. Get in the back of the car. No, not going to eat you out either. Here, put this pillowcase over your head. Fantastic. It's great.
Yeah, I knew a kid who was Muslim, and he refused to eat pork, but he would do heroin.
Yeah.
Of course.
So, what is...
It's amazing. He's done that before, too, but
heroin.
He doesn't eat pork.
Where's
no,
he,
not heroin.
Where's he from?
He's from Saudi Arabia.
I see.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe if you try putting heroin between your legs, he might eat it.
Yeah. Oh. A nice pork chop down there.
No, not all right.
Yeah. All right, so, Jennifer, it just sounds like you're sort of generally angry with the guy.
I don't know if it's anger, frustration, anger. Yeah, I get angry with him. I mean, and he tells me, don't look at me like that, because it makes me feel bad. Well, I don't want him to feel bad, because then it takes even longer before he wants to do anything.
Okay, all right. First off, I didn't want
to... Is it bad to rape your husband?
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's funny when guys get
So he's 19 and you're 20.
Well, he's 22. I'm going to be 21 at
I mean,
December,
why did you get married? Why?
Drew, don't screw her up now. Her hormones are going crazy. Listen,
so young.
Jennifer, here's the deal. You're going to have a kid.
Uh-huh.
Don't have another kid. Have this kid. Get into some counseling with this guy. And is that against his religion? Is anything realistic? All things that are realistic are against the Muslim religion. Is that what it is? Is that how it goes? That crazy, kooky bunch of effed up nut jobs over there? It's like, I bet...
You're going to get a guy inside the house with a bomb on him tomorrow. It's true.
It's like, people that are real religious, they're real religious, so they don't have to participate in anything that makes sense in life. Like, well, you should really get some counseling, or you should really try to do this, or you should put a condom on. It's against my religion.
You're not allowed to have sex with women. Oh, so what about, you know, the guy holding, you know,
if
the altar boy?
If he's so into his religion, how come he didn't marry another Muslim?
Oh, who knows? Who cares?
Yeah.
What's he doing in Kansas? I got 1,000 questions we're never going to get answered. But here's what these two need to do. They need some counseling or something. She's, like, frustrated with
compromise.
This guy.
This guy is doing it only his way, only on his terms, and... She needs something a little more, and she's frustrated.
Yeah.
When she's pregnant, they're going to have to share child-rearing responsibilities. It's just a mess.
All right. And this is, again, do not get married at 20.
No.
You're just not hormonally ready to do it. It is not going to work. Mm. When did you get married? What did Ozzy do? What happened? Sharon, when did you and Ozzy get married?
21 years ago.
How old were you then?
Oh, she didn't have to say, right?
But I mean...
We'll do the math.
You mom was 28, dad was 30.
Oh, no, how old was I?
Yeah.
I was 28.
Yeah. 28.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good age. Not ready to get married any time before that.
Yeah, what
no
if
way.
You got married at 19?
I would have been divorced.
Yeah, I mean, barely worked at 28, right?
No.
That did work?
Yeah, it did, but I was ready then. Mentally, I had done all I wanted to do as a single woman, and I was ready to settle down.
But don't you feel, at the age you are now, much more able to manage a relationship
of
than
course.
Even at 28?
Of course,
I mean,
yes.
I'm not saying everyone
yeah.
wait till you're 50, but I just mean... Even 28, which sounds old to some people, is just right at the very bottom of what you can do in terms of have a relationship.
I absolutely agree with you. Absolutely agree.
We're going to take ourselves a little bit of a break. Sharon and Jack Osborne are in here tonight. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Carney Wilson in here tomorrow night. Sharon Osborne in here tonight, along with Jack Osborne. And Sharon's show's going on the air September 15th. Drew, if you want to be in the audience, what do?
You call 323-960-4677, and they will give you the details.
Oh, yeah, and we need like 150 people.
Do you need certain
day.
Types of people? Just any kind of people.
I want... Everybody, I want kids, I want, you know, young adults, middle-aged, old people, men, women, everyone.
And have you taped some shows yet? You're going to tape shows, you've done some rehearsals.
Yeah,
shows.
Yeah. I've actually taped some tape pieces for the show, but all the audience stuff we haven't done.
How do you like it?
I love it. I really do like
really?
It. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm very comfortable with it.
That's good.
Adam doesn't like to do anything that entails...
Movement.
Now,
yes.
This is, I think, this Aussie communication thing here.
With him?
It's very similar to Aussie.
Yeah, they were separated at birth.
Yeah, did you hear him just go, that's an Aussie thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, great minds.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you guys a musical question. I got a guy named Gary. He's my left-hand. He works on all my houses.
By the way, Gary, today I went by his house to take it all in.
He was
lying on the floor in the living room, the big room.
It was.
The great room.
All right. I'm going to have to dock it. Really? What was he doing? He better have been working on the ceiling.
Eating.
Oh, he's taking a break.
Okay.
Anyway, Gary's a good man.
Getting the guy fired.
Gary's a weird dude. He lives in a trailer.
Uh-huh.
He's lost a couple fingers on a chop saw. He's like 50-something years old, and he works for me. He's the greatest guy in the world. He's a huge Ozzy fan. He's like insane with Ozzy. And he saw him in 72 and has probably seen him every year since then. So every night I call Gary when I drive in and I tell him what he's got to do the next day at the house.
Because
I'm doing the whole house rebuild thing. And I told him that Ozzy was coming in tonight. I almost crapped himself. He was in here last time you guys were in here with his daughter.
I remember him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I do.
Very excited.
Yeah, I remember
so
him.
He said, ask Ozzy why... his guitar player detunes his guitar. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, Jimi Hendrix did it, and Zakk Wylde does it, and started talking about Randy Rhoads, and then why some guys detune their guitar and other guys don't. And I said, well, what do you mean detune the guitar? And he said, oh, it makes like a F and E flat sharp or something like that. I didn't know what. I said, I'll ask Ozzy. Well, Ozzy's not here. But
his
I
manager
know,
is.
Yeah. Do you know anything about detuning guitars and why rock
Wait.
Guitar guys would do it? And
tuning
Jack, maybe
it,
you know.
Tuning it to D or?
Detuning it. Untuning it.
Detuning it.
Softening it up somehow.
I don't know. I think it gives you more flexibility.
It does. It gives you more flexibility. And especially...
What do you mean more flexibility? More range out of the,
yeah,
out of the guitar?
Then you're locked in. Other than you're not locked in. And if you just want to go and improvise something...
You can slide from note to note without hitting them directly.
It gives you the freedom to improvise into something else. If you just feel like doing a little fill somewhere, you can do it.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just locked in.
Right.
And you know, it all depends on the artist. Some people like that. They they like that structure of not being able to, you know, move anywhere else. And some people like that freedom of, you know, going wherever they want to go on it.
So it's for guys. It gives you more options up on stage.
Definitely.
Lets you do more improvising.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
All right. I'm going to tell Gary that, and I'm going to tell him to get back to work.
You could have told Adam anything. He would have just gone with it. Uh-huh. Whatever time he's.
But you know, it's funny. Sometime between tonight and tomorrow, when I tell Gary, it's going to be. Sharon said it had to do with. I don't know. Rihanna?
Hi.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was just wondering if guys see a girl who is, let's say, big boned, if they're immediately just not interested.
Big boned.
Black guys like them.
You're fat. What does big boned mean?
Like chunky, like.
Chunky.
Like big, like fat.
Well, here's the thing.
Chunky?
There's a ceiling. I mean, there's the sort of
for
range.
The average guy.
Yeah, there's that range between that sort of spindly and bony and knobby kneed, and then they're sort of voluptuous and got some meat on the bones and, you know, nice big round ass and that kind of thing. But then once you get past that, and you start entering fat, then you really significantly cut down the amount of guys that are into you. So, Jack, what are you, chubby chaser? What do you got going, Jack?
Hardly. I just think, you know, being as I, you know, was in high school, it's, you know, hard for, you know, certain porkly adolescents to, you know, it's not so socially accepted in high school
to be overweight.
Yeah, it's people like, you know, especially because, you know, and guys, you know, they don't even know what they like yet,
right?
You know, I mean, anything with a hole, you know, most high school kid will right, you can hit me.
Jesus.
Apologize to your mom.
What do you think this is, TV?
There's a bleep here, right?
Yeah.
All right, good. I don't know. It's tough, but I mean,
it's funny too. Jack had to explain first, like, anything with a hole, and then he had to do the extrapolation math. Guys will F, like, yeah,
especially in high school.
Right. So, but what's your point?
My point is that
we shouldn't speak so loosely about the weight issues.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because I mean, when you're so young, I mean, you never know this person.
She's 15.
She's 15. Yeah. I don't know if she's talking about her. I don't know.
She must be.
All right.
With our callers, yes.
You know, she could grow out of it.
Right.
You know, two, there are guys who do like, you know.
Right, but what you're looking for is trying to get the majority of guys, not a very small fringe group. And so, Brianna.
Yes.
Here's the reality. Guys, by and large, aren't into big women, and society kicks the crap out of big people. It's really our last people that we can discriminate against.
Well,
get away with it. We'd love to do it with the blacks and the Mexicans, but we get into trouble.
So now
we got to focus on fat people.
It all gets dumped onto fat people.
It really does.
Yeah, Brianna, it's the hardest thing in the world to be your age and to be overweight. And I don't know how overweight you are, but you're an easy
target.
You are such an easy target being at school and being overweight. It's the hardest thing in the world.
So the question is, Brianna, is...
We're having Carney Wilson in here tomorrow night. I'm sure we'll talk more about this.
Are you this way to protect yourself from something?
If she wants to talk about it.
No, I mean, I don't have any psychological issues. I mean, I'm not, like, obese, but I'm 15 and still have not had a boyfriend.
Brianna, how much do you weigh?
Just under 200 pounds.
And how tall are you?
5'9".
Well, still a big girl.
You're a big girl. Do you exercise?
Yes.
You do? And
yes.
Are you happy with yourself? You feel good about yourself, honestly?
Well, it's very frustrating to feel good about yourself when other people are always putting you down.
They put you down.
They will.
Put you down.
Of course. This is
what
they
do. Yeah, because as we said, you're an easy target, and it's always, you know, the one with the glasses, or the one that's overweight, or the one that's got red curly hair,
You know what you got to do? This gets them every single time. If someone ever starts teasing you, you just turn around, look them right in the eyes, and go, you know what? I have feelings too. And that just totally, it's like a kick in the nuts to anyone who's teasing you.
Do that, Brianna. And listen, as far as having a boyfriend, you're 15, so plenty of people have their boyfriends by 15.
Right, there's a lot more time.
But do guys... No, so tough. Life is going to be tougher for you overweight. I'm not going to kid you. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So if And here's the other thing. I got a lot of energy with this, as you know, Drew. Mm. Here's what I believe. I got a couple things. I believe that society needs to turn on a certain group. It's within us, meaning we're always looking. There's a certain scapegoating that goes on, and there's a certain sacrificing that needs to go on, and it has always been there, from throwing people into the volcano to, you know, just sacrificing the virgin. There's a certain amount of this that just needs to go on. It's a societal, tribal, innate, whatever, built into man.
It has needed to go on. It's something we need to try to
contain it. Yeah. And we have said, you know, whereas 50 years ago, hey, it was fine to drop the N-word. It was fine to do a lot of racial stuff. It was fine to do a lot of stuff that involved sexual proclivity. So it's still funny to make fun of the homos, but I mean, that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff. It's less and less and less. There used to be a huge list of people we could make fun of. We could make fun of the Irish, for Christ's sake.
You still can.
I guess we still can, because they're not in bad shape, so now it becomes kind of funny. But the point is we cannot make fun of a lot of people, but we can still make fun of fat people. And I'm wondering if fat people aren't getting more now because of the stuff that was earmarked to go to other religions and races.
I have said this before. In this country, people are more accepting of a drug addict than they are of somebody who's fat.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like, he's got a disease.
You know what? Oh, it's cool. He might go into rehab. You know, that's cool. But if you're overweight, it's not accepted, and it's just not cool.
Hmm. And people, I hear people do this all the time, where somebody says, well, you know, their parents are overweight, so the kid's 14. The kid's, you know, morbidly obese at 14, and there's a genetic thing. Oh, they're lazy. You don't tell me if they didn't stop eating and start working out that they couldn't drop. It's this weird energy starts coming out, almost this anger. And look, I mean, let's be honest, especially when you look at pictures of these kids oftentimes. You look at a picture of the kid when he was fat and he's on the pony. He's 8 years old. He's fat. You know, you see the picture of the kid at 11. He's fat. I mean, we all know people are skinny as rails. They eat whatever they want, especially when you're 12. Your body doesn't really make a move based on what you're putting into it when you're 10 years old, when you're 8 years old. If you're fat at 8, that's because you're fat. It's not because you're eating more than the skinny 8-year-old is eating, or not exercising, or you have a weak constitution. I mean, most of the people are sort of cut the way they're cut. They have the shape the way they're shaped. Some enhance it, some screw it up a little. But by and large, think about everyone you've ever known your whole life for more than 10 or 20 years. They're about the same as they were. Their calves look about the same. Their nose are the same. Their eyes are the same. Their guts the same. They're about the same shape. That's about it. It's not really a matter of lazy or who deserves it more. We want to do this. I mean, we want to say to people, you know, where did you get those calves? Where'd you get those forearms? How do you do this? How come you're fat? Get away. You're lazy. You know, I don't understand that. I really think it's cruel, and I really think it's sort of scapegoating.
Yeah.
It's still funny, it is
cruel, and as you say, you know, it's not politically correct or acceptable anywhere in this world to pick on certain ethnic groups, but yet you can, you know, openly go on TV and make fun of fat people.
But anytime there also is a sort of physical problem, a disorder of some type, people want there to be a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a journalist the other day talking to some very high-powered oncologists, and she was going, cancer is hundreds of different illnesses. It's such complex, and clearly there are genetic mechanisms. So what causes it? Why do people get cancer? It's like, no, wait, you don't do something to get cancer. I mean, yes, you smoking and drinking and things can contribute, but...
Drinking can?
But,
yeah.
Well, smoking and drinking together do. Yeah.
But here's the deal. I mean, there's nothing that a genetic hand... good in a good way or in a bad way trumps everything. If you got a great genetic physical hand, eat whatever you want until you're 50 and you'll still have rock hard abs. If you have a bad genetic hand, count every calorie that goes in your mouth, exercise all the time, you're never going to look as good as the guy with the good genetic hand who eats whatever he wants. That's the truth. And why we got to punish the poor guy who got the bad genetic hand. I mean, it's like, not only you get the bad genetic hand, society's going to make their hand into a fist and beat the crap out of you. I say it stops. I say it stops tonight on this show.
I'm with you.
Cruel for president.
With you.
All right. Let's, I'm serious. I'm hungry, though, now.
So I want to
get something
to
eat. Let's go and eat. We'll be back. everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Carney Wilson in here tomorrow night. Sharon Osbourne, Jack Osbourne in here tonight. And Sharon's show is going to premiere September 15th. And Ozfest coming to Los Angeles this weekend.
Oh, it is July 5.
And that's going to be down at the
San Bernardino. Yeah.
Yeah. And oh, it's going to be 190 degrees.
Is it the daytime or nighttime thing?
It starts. Do you know what?
14-hour day.
14-hour day. 21 bands. The music starts at 9:30 in the morning, and will end probably about 11:30, because Ozzy's going to be doing a longer show that day, so it'll probably end about 11:30. It's unbelievable amount of music all day.
Don't drink and drive.
Why is Ozzy doing a longer set that day?
Because they're allowing us to go longer. Usually there's a curfew, and they're allowing us to go over this year.
This is, by the way, Korn, Marilyn Manson, wow. Chevelle, Disturbed. So.
Korn owes us a visit. They've not been around like 2 years.
Yeah. I think I talked to... I talked to Fred Durst. All right. We're going to work that Korn thing out. Yeah. Korn was like best
they
friends
were love
of the
with
show.
You, yeah.
What happened to Korn?
They're great. They're doing really good.
Yeah.
They're fabulous.
Well,
we got to
get them
live.
Back in here. Let's talk to Billy, who's 20. Billy?
Hi.
What's up?
Every time I make my girlfriend orgasm, she pees. And I don't know if that's normal or what.
Billy, this Billy, the female lesbian?
Sure.
All right.
Are there other kinds of lesbians than female lesbians?
Well, I just wanted, because her name's Billy, I just wanted to
I got a question for Billy. Are you like a legit lesbian, or are you just a 20-year-old experimenting in college, you know?
No, I'm official.
You're legit.
Card-carrying lesbian.
Yeah.
Billy, are you sure you're not playing with her G-spot and you think it's P, but it's not?
I'm pretty sure it's P.
But what Sharon is saying, maybe she's having a female ejaculation, and it's very hard to tell the difference.
It is.
And there is such a thing as female orgasmic incontinence, and that is P. And in either case, it sort of is what it is. She's happy with it, right?
Right. But, I mean, would the ejaculation be the same color as P?
It's not. If you took a bunch of vitamins and got bright yellow, the ejaculate would not do that. That would be pee.
Well, there's the way I do it, or do my asparagus test. I do with Drew all the time. You can always tell. You can tell the difference between asparagus and pineapple, can't you, buddy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, both sweet.
You should turn around and pee on her and see how she likes it.
Yeah.
I'm sure she wouldn't mind.
Hey, so, Billy, is everything good with you and her? And what was your name before? Were you always Billy?
Yeah.
So you think that helped make you a lesbian, or was just serendipity?
No.
No?
You're a lesbian. That is evidence of God, is it not?
Billy sounds like a girl trying to sound like a guy who's trying to sound like a girl.
Right.
Then you get that weird, All right, so everything's good? You weren't abused or anything?
No, not at all.
All right, so enjoy yourself.
All right, thank you.
Good time.
All right. Yeah, nothing... I don't know. I envy the lesbian or gay relationship.
Why?
Really do. There's something that I went out with. I have a gay friend I hadn't seen in a while. He's a 40-year-old guy. I hadn't seen him in like a year. I saw him yesterday. I'm like, how you doing? He's like, I'm effing this 21-year-old guy. He's a great piece of ass. He comes over twice a week. I bang the bejesus out of him, and then he goes home. You know, it's great. And I just thought, it's a certain freedom to it. You know, he doesn't have any kids. He's not worried about other people. He's only worried about himself. And he gets to live like he's perpetually in some sort of gay college, you know? I mean, like, first off, when you're a 40-year-old gay guy, you can just bang all the 21-year-old dudes you want. There's nobody says anything. No one's like, oh, my God, what's he doing? No, that's
there's
it.
No
that's what
gay
you do.
Police.
No, it's like, 21, why aren't you banging 17-year-olds?
Oh.
I mean, that's... Well, I just mean it. Like, it's a sort of perpetual sort of Peter Pan. Like, I'm not... Like, Drew, you're constantly fretting about the kids, and you need the college money saved up, and the daughter wants to go ice skate, and you got to go. When you're gay, it's all about you. It's all about me. It's like, I'm 40. I don't want any kids. I want to bang this 21-year-old mulatto dude.
There's a lot of gays that are married.
And have kids now.
Oh,
and
they do.
Have kids. Yeah.
See, that's that. I wouldn't be one of them gays.
Right.
That's a sucker gay. I'm an anal gay. I mean, a non-sucker gay. Yeah, that kind of gay is for suckers. Then you got to blow a guy and raise the kids. No way. That's lose-lose.
One or the other.
Lose-lose, yeah.
And kiss him goodnight with that mouth.
Oh, sorry. Just sucked off your other dad or mom or whoever you want to think of it. Yeah, we'll both be your moms. Tom?
Yeah?
Long string goes from the kid's forehead.
Would you stop?
Jack brought it up. Jack started it.
Disgusting. Tom, what's up? 15.
All right. So, first of all, I wanted to tell you guys that I'm overweight, and I'm with you guys 110%.
Yeah.
How much
more
you
like
weigh?
210.
You're fat. How much you weigh?
I weigh about 225.
All right. How tall are you?
5'7".
All right. What's the question?
All right. So I have a question, sort of a puberty / masturbation question.
Right.
Yeah. And this
right,
is, so, you're Tom? You're Tom the male, yeah.
Yeah.
See, for you, it's cool. Just, you know, start a label. You get all the ass you want. Right, Jack?
Well, okay.
Yeah. Go all ahead.
Right. All right, so basically what's up is that I have a friend who's my age, and he says that he masturbates all the time, and I've tried a couple times, but I've never been able to ejaculate, and I'm just wondering.
Do you have normal hair distribution, your hair under the arm, that kind of thing? Well, one thing that happens when you are overweight is you tend to produce a lot of estrogen, and that can perhaps suppress some of the effects of the testosterone coming online in your system. So, and different people mature at different ages. I wouldn't freak out about this just yet. Most guys do get into this behavior somewhere between 12 and 15. Adam, you were late. You were like 15.
16.
16. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's why I've been doubling down ever since.
Ever since.
Yeah,
yes.
Double time.
But did you mess with yourself before that?
I did. Yeah, I did, yeah.
Before 15? Before 16?
I diddled my junk. I didn't know what I was doing.
Not until Chris gave you the electric toothbrush.
It was like you know once they give toddlers they give like a chimp a tool or something and they hold it by the wrong end and bang on it. They're interested
that
in it, but they're
penis.
Not using it.
Right,
that was me and my penis.
Yeah, right.
I would grab it by the head side and swing the balls
stretch
and the stuff
it.
And stretch on it and smack it around.
You give a kid like one of those teething rings to chew.
I tried to chew it. I tried. God knows I tried.
You should try porn mag.
Tom, what about some pornography to sort of kickstart yourself?
Actually, you know what? I've got Kazaa online, and, you know, you can download all sorts of stuff on there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've downloaded stuff,
what's
and
it?
I've tried that.
Kazaa's got porn?
It's like Napster, but...
Oh, okay.
And my kids were looking at that. I thought they were like looking at TV shows and cartoons and stuff, but it keeps
forget
going.
Forget about it.
Well, it's just like... Yeah, pretty much.
It keeps going.
True.
Yeah.
It keeps going, buddy.
Oh,
yeah. Jack City. All right, so Tom.
Yeah.
You're fine. But you should probably try to lose some weight, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Now, I have one other question for Drew.
Wait a minute. What are you doing? Are you exercising?
Yeah. I go to the Y 3 times a week, and I've been to the nutritionist several times.
Great.
All right.
Just keep it up. What's your other question?
All right. I have a question. I'm also Unitarian.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you've heard of OWL.
OWL?
Yeah. It's a Unitarian sex ed program.
You know what?
Is that an acronym or something?
Yeah, this does sound familiar. I have heard it from somewhere.
What are the Unitarians into?
It's a hippie church.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's cool to smoke weed and beat off and stuff.
Unity.
Oh.
Everything's good.
Ah, all right. Well, why bother then? It's like the Wiccans. Like, oh, we're into the earth. We like to recycle. It's nothing. There's not enough. You guys need some rules, you Unitarians.
You would just
hook up with those Muslims. So
no, they're not those people that had that pretend baby, that French.
No, those are they were from a different planet.
Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah, French Canadians, the worst. Worse maybe than the French Canadians.
Yeah.
Because all the bad
French
things about the French mixed with the bad things about the Canadians.
Oh.
Now you have a super horrible creature that you get Celine Dion is what you end up with. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. You know what I loved about, by the way, I remember this because it was all the news about 6 months ago. We have given birth.
Oh yeah, first
we've
cloned baby.
We've cloned
oh,
a baby.
Yeah,
we've
yeah.
cloned a baby, and people are like, "All right, how about some genetic proof?" And they were indignant. They were like,
"How dare you?
You'll wait, and you'll see." And those who are the non-believers will be punished, you know. You'll see and you'll
French
look bad.
Canadians?
No, they're the ones who kill themselves.
Oh,
and listen,
yeah.
I'm all for the cults who kill themselves.
Really?
That's just, you know, that's Darwin taking out the garbage. Just, you know, go ahead and eat the punch. It's fine. Save us some trouble. But where is the clone kid now? That was 6 months ago. Where's the proof?
It's gone up back up to another planet. Yeah, it's gone back up.
Did you notice something about that whole cult who cloned the baby, whatever? It was all chicks. And they were all, like, really, really hot chicks.
For the one guy.
And the one guy, here's it. We got to go to break, but I've done some research on every cult. It's all about a guy in his 40s who wants to bang 19-year-old runaways.
Yeah.
100 chicks. And it's like the rules are like, you have to share your wife with me. It's basically just balding guys who are having trouble getting a boner who decide, I'm going to start a cult. I'll get a bunch of effed up people that were victimized. I'll bang all of them.
They want to be a musician as well.
Right. Oh, failed musician. Well, that was their first attempt at banging everybody. Didn't work out. All right. We'll be back. Drew's favorite song.
Number 9.
Yeah.
That's what Jack responds to.
Love line.
I'm down.
Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Jack Osborne is here. Sharon Osborne is here. Ozfest in full swing. Sharon's show hitting the air September 15th in syndication, but it'll be on during the day most places, right?
Yeah, yeah, it will.
Where's it going to be on out here in Los Angeles?
Channel 5.
All right, what time?
1 o'clock. It's either 1 or 3 o'clock. We're not sure yet. Probably 3.
Hour-long show, right?
Yeah, an hour-long show.
And if you want to be in the audience, Drew?
Number is 323-960-4677.
Yeah.
Call it. Get tickets. Come on in.
Yeah. If you're coming, we're in a lot of parts of the country, but if you're coming out here for a vacation, you want to go see a show film, this is the one to see. It's a good time.
Yeah.
How do you know, Drew?
I saw it.
You did?
Yeah.
You once saw one?
Yeah.
Did you do a test show?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he
did. Drew was on.
Yes.
You didn't tell me that, did you?
No, I don't tell you anything.
Yeah, that's the way I like it. That's the way I like it, buddy. Because once in a while, there's something I want to hear, but it doesn't justify the 95% of the crap I don't want to hear. So still worth it.
Shut up.
When did you do it? How was Drew?
He was amazing.
Good answer.
What else are you going to say? No, but he's good. Drew, I mean, Drew should really be doing more of this kind of stuff, right? More of the daytime stuff.
He's a mine of information. He gets his point across quickly, directly, and he puts it across in a way that is very easy to understand.
He's easy on the eyes, too.
I'm sorry?
He's easy on the eyes. This
Oh, did you just hear that? I think there may be some tension going on.
He's a good looking
guy. Electricity between you two?
Well, he's a good looking guy.
Recently broken up.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
he's a man of exquisite passion as well.
So how did that feel, Drew?
Yeah, Drew.
Hearing that from Adam? Well, Adam.
I needed time.
It's hard. You always say that, but it. I have.
I feel like
too.
I'm suffocating. I feel like I'm suffocating in this relationship. It's because Drew's holding a pillow over me and trying to cornhole me.
Listen, yeah. I'm sick of this because every time it comes down to the same issue, it's the anal sex. Every damn time.
Yeah, well, I can't help it, Drew. It's at my core.
I'm not into that. I know the core cornholing is something you're into.
I know, but I said put a little medicinal liquid coke on your rectum and pop one of those amyl.
See how he is? I'm like some sort of object. I'm some sort of
sex toy.
For absolute.
Sex toy.
Sharon, thank you.
Let me appeal to Jack. Jack, you tell me if this is out of line. I want him to pop one of those amyl. What do they call it? Amyl nitrate. Those poppers, you know, right when I'm close because he clinches up and it gives me a little extra sensation. There's nothing wrong with that.
Have you ever heard of the donkey punch?
Oh, yeah. I'm too much a gentleman to do that.
What is a donkey punch?
Yeah, I want to know. No, maybe I don't.
I'm very scared
now. You know, when you get knocked out, your body tightens up.
I see.
You knock him out right before.
Oh, I see.
Tightens up. And
see? Too big a gentleman.
This is definitely more information than I need
to know. So a seizure would be
know.
Sort of the ultimate.
You try to induce a seizure.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
Just flashing like a strobe light in his face.
Right. Sure. When my kids become late teen adolescent and they start talking like this, I'm calling you. I need your strength. The way you just take. Speaking of taking punches, she just takes them.
Yeah.
Hold
on.
No, they roll off.
Your kid's not going to turn out like Jack.
No.
Those are good kids.
But he'll talk about Jack. They will. They will. They all talk about Jack.
Hey, listen, listen. I have to tell you this. I did an interview with the guy from Fox News.
O'Reilly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was asking me about the way that I brought up my kids, and he said to me, now, don't you regret not bringing your children up the way I did? I have no problem from my children. They're perfect. And then he cut to a break. And on the break, I said to him, how old are your children? He said, 4 and 6.
Oh, really?
He nailed me on air, and I'm like, God.
How is that nailing? That's just being an oxymoron right there. Of course you have no problem with a 4 and a 6-year-old.
Yeah, but the audience didn't know that, and I didn't.
They do now.
She could have nailed them, yeah.
Yeah.
The reason why you don't have a problem with your kid is because they don't know how to cross the road by themselves, Bill.
Yeah.
How'd you like working with O'Reilly?
I'm sorry?
How'd you like that, talking to him?
I enjoyed it. I like him very much.
He listens.
I watch his show an awful lot. Ozzy's a huge fan of his.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that.
Christ. Yeah, he's got a huge fan.
Lexi?
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, hey. You're 25. What's
not
up?
Not that
somewhere around there.
All right. What do you do? You do a lot of speed?
No.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, first I wanted to say I'm a great fan of Sharon. I love her. And I just had a little story to tell her. When I got, I found out I was pregnant. Was at the same time my mom got diagnosed with colon cancer.
Wow.
And needless to say, my son's 7 years old, and my mom is a wonderful grandma, and everything turned out great.
That's amazing.
And so everything's going to be great for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You can watch your show starting September 15th.
Definitely. Won't miss it.
And you're in Glendale. She's filming over in Hollywood. 323-960-4677.
Yeah. Drive right over the hill and see her.
Hello, I'm not on speed. I can't take it that fast.
323-960-4677.
And bring your mom and your baby.
You know what? This is the same. I know why this number looks so familiar.
You, hold on a second.
All right.
This is the same audience people we used to use on Loveline. I remember.
We did?
Yes.
We used to say that when we did the show?
Yes, yes. Or used to be up there or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the first. Yeah. Yeah. Sound the same. Hey, good times. Hey, Lexi?
Yeah, all right, I wanted to ask Sharon like a couple more questions.
Well,
really quick.
One. Go ahead.
One? Listen, I combine them into two.
Where's your... Are you married?
No.
Where's the father of your child?
Probably in a mental institute or jail.
Where's my bourbon?
All right. Are you with a new guy?
Yeah.
How's he?
He's actually wonderful, and he's at www.com.
What's that mean?
What does that mean?
He's in a rock band. He's a singer, and he's...
Oh.
And I think he would actually make a really good thing to the Ozfest.
I'm not tracking this. Is this a commercial?
I don't know. Listen, I don't trust this new guy. What does he do for a living?
Well, he does other things, but he's, for the most part...
What's he do to make money?
He plumbs, plumbing thing.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
He's
so he's a plumber.
But
does he take care of your... Lexi, I'm going to hang up on you now. Lexi was trying to get... Was trying to plug her husband's... I mean, her boyfriend's band. But I could hear Lexi was a mess.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on with her.
How could you get that she's screwy?
Screwy like when a mechanic listens to an engine and knows if there's something, if it's a big problem or a small problem. That's how I am.
I put my ear
to that engine block. And so does Drew. She's sketchy. She's a little schizoid. She doesn't track well.
She's thinking is, scattered.
Yeah, she sounds like... She sounds like it's like she's into speed, really, but I don't know if she has to, but she thinks that way.
She's the type of woman you'd see buying, 900 bottles of cough medicine at Rite Aid at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Right, and one lot of scratcher. Brittany?
Yep.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I don't know. I have a couple questions. First of all, my grandpa left his wife and 7 children a while ago.
How old was he when he left?
I'm sorry?
How old was he when he left?
Probably 50s.
He's in the 50s, but he was a grandpa already.
Yes, he was a grandpa already.
Grandpa of 7 children.
7 children. So sex isn't that bad.
Yeah, but so he got married. He got married like in his teens or something, right?
Why are you talking about your grandfather having sex?
Yeah, that's gross, dude.
Yeah, that's real gross.
Well, so what's happening now?
He's gay now, though.
He's gay now.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering if that was a chemical imbalance or what. That's why I'm saying that the sex wasn't that bad because he had 7 kids. Wow. So he must not have been gay the whole time, right?
Nah.
Well, so he left your grandma to have a relationship with a male?
Yes.
And so now he's got a boyfriend?
Yes.
Yeah, there's something called the geriatric pole-smoking syndrome that you must have seen that in JAMA this month. Did you see that? Dude, you got this month's JAMA, Drew?
I've got it.
You've not seen the end of that syndrome? It covers it. It's an interesting phenomenon. It's guys turning to guys. Yes.
A friend of mine told me a story pretty much exactly like this not so long ago.
Well, for years they've known about the adolescent pole smokers.
Yes, yes.
And that syndrome's been well documented, but they didn't know it came in a geriatric form. And this is a newer phenomenon in the medical. Yes. So yeah.
Fudge pack.
Oh, there's fudge pack. There's geriatric fudge pack syndrome. There's geriatric Feld syndrome. There's nut nibbler and choke.
Can I just say
smoking.
Something here?
Yes. It comes from many different names. Yes.
All right,
same
guys.
Syndrome, though. Same syndrome. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Here we go. It's serious right now.
No, I am. Mm-hmm. It's obvious that your granddad was a closet case gay for many years and lived a very unhappy life, and he was probably trying so hard to be we all perceive as normal. But, you know...
He may have been carrying on the whole time,
the whole time, yeah.
Because it's really difficult for guys to suppress that.
Okay, yeah. But then I have another question that is the same idea. His boyfriend is about his age, and my grandpa is very tall and skinny, and his boyfriend is quite large and black.
Uh-huh.
You mean fat?
No. Yes.
Yeah, it's fat. This is...
So what's the matter?
Geriatric afro, chode gobbling, Portly syndrome. It's studied well.
Okay, well, no. All right. Why?
It's gross.
Why?
Don't think about it.
That is disturbing.
Don't think about it.
The fact that he's black. It's super extreme.
In other words, it's so hard for them. She already has to contend with the fact that his sexual orientation was nowhere in the realm that she understood, but it's with somebody sort of.
Say the N-word.
It's a little.
Maybe this has been a boyfriend for years. Could this have been the guy?
Okay, no. Okay.
Probably.
What would you do?
Yes.
What would you do if Granddad all of a sudden?
No, hold on here. What did he just do? My father at 77 was stooping a girl of 32 who had her husband was black and she had two. Multiracial children. Good luck to him. Hope he enjoyed every minute of it.
Really?
But it's a different scenario to you.
How did it work? He had to drop the Osborne. I mean, he had to drop the Osborne card there, right? I mean, to draw that kind of young tail.
He had money.
Oh, he's a rich guy. That's right.
You know the way that goes.
See, that's fine. That's,
why I'm saving my money, because I know when I'm 70, all I got to do is buy a chick a car, and I'm getting like a nice 28-year-old piece of ass.
Yep.
Thinking ahead.
Yep, you'll save that car money, Brittany. By then, it's gonna be some kind of shuttle or hovercraft, though. It won't be a car, so we know it.
No, probably by then, there'll be none of us left.
It'll be a rocket.
So, Brittany.
Yes.
I try not to think about it.
Well, this is the other thing. I'm a hairdresser, and I'm not bothered by gays at all.
Right.
Like, this scenario just really bothers me.
I understand, but I mean, here's the whole thing. If you start breaking it down, it's going to bother you. It just is. I mean, look, picturing your dad humping your mom is bothersome for a straight person. It's all bothersome. Anytime there's any sexuality regarding anybody who's in the family, and especially the older generations, it becomes bizarre/disgusting. Yeah. So here's the deal. Rid your mind of the thought. It goes on. It always has gone on. Move on.
And you know what? There's nothing you can do about it, Brittany, to change it. There's nothing. You got to let
it go. That's right. Maybe if you loved him a little more as a granddaughter, it could have, but that window's been painted shut. It's true.
You lost.
It's true. If you're doing a little better, maybe you could have spared him the rod.
You should introduce him to people, you know? You could work with this, you know? Introduce him to some guys you work with.
No, listen, you're lucky he didn't go after one of your boyfriends. Consider yourself lucky.
Right.
Yeah, suddenly the spare him the rod thing has a whole new dimension.
Yes, true. See, it only took you a few minutes. Christina?
Yes.
You're 25?
I am.
What's up?
Is she on the ocean?
When I first started dating my boyfriend, he was totally sober, had been through treatment, and...
How long had he been sober?
He was sober for 2 months, and then...
Big no-no right there.
He's not supposed to have a new relationship until he's been sober a year. And so his... well, it's not funny. It means his sobriety is not really a sobriety. He's just sort of, you know, he's sort of treading water, but not taking his sobriety seriously.
Yeah. Because, I mean... It's just another distraction right there.
What do you have,
relationships?
Jack? What? Well, how much sobriety do you have?
I got 73 days today.
Oh, that's great. It's about a month, right?
It's a little more than a month.
Congratulations. Christina?
Yeah.
So Christina, the thing about recovery is people have to grow in recovery. They have to change. And a relationship, it's hard to change when you're in a relationship. You end up sort of being held right where you are. Unless you participate in his recovery as well and sort of change along with him.
Right.
People don't change. They tend to sort of take on life preservers, really, or distractions, as Jack says.
Has he relapsed?
Yes, he has.
Yeah, well, predictably.
After 7 months, he did.
What? Well, I promise you he was doing something well before that.
Did, just out of curiosity, did you guys have a fight or something and he went out and got loaded, or was it like...
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Wow. See, that is why you can't have relationships in, you know, within the first year of sobriety, right there.
Really?
Yeah.
Even in people with relationships that are very solid, sobriety is very solid, relationships are probably the number one reason people go out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk to Amanda. Amanda?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yep.
You don't wear underpants?
Nope.
That's fine.
Yeah, so, I was just wondering because, sometimes it gets, dry down there. And, I don't know.
It gets dry down there?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah. It just gets really itchy and
itchy.
But do you wear
jeans a lot?
Yeah, you wear very tight jeans, right?
Not really tight at all.
Hmm.
I have to wear loose jeans.
Hmm. Why aren't you wearing tight jeans? You're 17. How dare you?
Shame on you.
Have. Yes.
Because I don't want guys staring at my ass all the time.
Well, why not? All right. Mm-hmm. You got a nice ass?
Yeah. Mm.
You high?
What?
I don't know.
Hey, so listen, why don't you wear underpants?
I don't, it's not comfortable for me. I don't know. I don't like wearing thongs or anything.
Yeah. So why is it a big deal?
Yeah.
What's the big deal? I don't get it.
Because I don't know if, that causes, the dryness down there.
No.
Because, it gets really irritated.
Why would wearing...
I don't know.
No, it's understandable. I mean, jeans is kind of rough, coarse.
You do a lot of shaving down there?
Yeah.
That's more what you're going to irritate with. Maybe you ought to switch to waxing.
Yeah, that kind of hurts.
Yeah, it does. But so does the chafing and the irritation.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
It's probably really the shaving more than the no underwear.
So are you the type of girl who walks down, the whole way in high school and just scratching her,
No. No way. I wouldn't be caught dead doing that.
You got a boyfriend?
No, not really.
Why not?
I don't know.
Because she's scratching.
they think she has cramps. All right, Amanda, you're fine.
Okay.
It's good to, you know why you got to wear underpants once in a while? Because once in a while you get into a situation where you got to take your pants off. Like people be getting into a jacuzzi or something, or something impromptu, and you realize, it's happened a couple times, you realize you're the only one who's not wearing underpants. Yeah?
Can I ask, what do you do when you have your period?
For me, I just...
Shut up, you!
Put a throw pillow
Come
up
on,
in there.
Amanda, what do you do?
I just wear a tampon, I don't do anything.
That's no, right?
And
what?
You never have a little bit of leakage?
Sharon and Jack about your new idea. I think the novelty tampon.
What is that?
I had some good ideas for this. All right, so you just use a tampon, but you can't use a pad if you don't wear
it. Yeah, that's what I'm asking. You can't use
a
pad.
No.
I will when I go to sleep, but I'm not, I don't know, it's not comfortable for me.
Okay.
All right.
Well, good times.
Jack will like this.
I had this good idea. It was based on a call we got that woman lost a string for a tampon. Mm. And they're light. They're not that long. They can get caught up in there.
Yeah, they can. And we want to discourage young people from having sex. You know, women are unwanted advances and things.
The string doesn't have to just be a thin piece of cotton string. It could actually do different novelty things. I had a rat tail. I thought that would be funny, that rat tail just hanging there. You know, it would really discourage a guy. Date rape would be almost eliminated by rat tail.
Some confetti?
There could be anything.
Are you saying a rat tail attached to a tampon?
Yeah. Yes, that was the string. It became the string.
But
you know
where's
what I mean?
The rat?
No, it's just the tail. It's just the tail.
You chop the tail off the rat.
Okay.
Novelty tail. Fake.
Yeah, we'd probably make them eventually.
Okay.
For the first couple of years of production, we probably actually use real rat tails, but eventually
golden
we'd synthesize it.
Tail.
It's just crazy
raccoon tails. Raccoon tails, you know, badger tails, skunk turd, skunk.
Crazy.
Skunk baby tail. Skunk.
Yeah. Yeah, what?
Platypus.
Yeah, all different. Beaver. Oh, that might be redundant, but
that's the funniest one.
That's probably
one.
The best one, yeah. We work it out. But these are, you buy these, you can just, you just clip them on. We do it in such a way where you dress up your tampon. Why not have a good time with the tampon?
And you could use it as a tickling stick, so it's like a double.
No, the idea is to get young unwanted sexual advances discouraged. Because if a young male is really pushing and he gets going, gets the drawers off and sees a rat tail hanging out, it's going to be like,
Yeah.
Especially if it's wiggling.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'd be nice to be able to get a little movement on it. Yeah.
No, but you see, that could excite the girl right there, and it could kind of counteract,
backfire.
Right?
Yeah. This is better than my seatbelt sash. Maybe, but I had an idea for, you know, your seatbelt, say, like Miss Congeniality across your shoulder belt. You know what I mean? This is possibly better than that, Drew. I didn't think I was going to do any better than the seatbelt sash.
I've never heard the seatbelt sash.
You ever saw the Miss Budweiser? You just attach it to your car seat. Wherever you go, you feel like royalty. You know what I mean?
That's a good idea.
Solid plans. Another one of my great ones. All right. Oh, I'll tell you, my greatest, Jack, you would have liked this. 73 and a half days ago. My shotgun beer. It's the beer with the pull tab on the bottom and on the top, so you can just shotgun the beer.
Nice.
I mean, that's a fraternity
right
house
there.
Favorite. Yeah. Doesn't cost anything, just a little bit in the tooling and the manufacturing, and charge twice as much for a sixer. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Sharon Osbourne in here, Jack Osbourne in here.
Dispense with my cards. It'd be great.
What's that, Drew?
You can just distribute them with my cards.
What cards?
My treatment center cards.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, your cards.
My yes.
Cards.
Yeah. I could be sober support.
I thought you had an invention of something that some interesting for a second. I almost had
no, of course
time.
Not.
All right. And, Drew, I've never seen one of your cards, by the way. Yeah. We never talked about your cards. Give me a card.
I don't have one.
He's going to yell out the number on the app.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Carney Wilson in here tomorrow night. Sharon Osbourne, Jack Osbourne in here this evening. Ozfest in full effect going on this weekend out here at the Glen Helen Blockbuster Pavilion. Sharon's show is going on air September 15th, probably during the daytime, afternoon, maybe the morning. Going to be syndicated, so look for it. And if you want to come see the show in person, you're out here in the Los Angeles area, Drew.
The number is 323-960-4677.
That's right. And Drew, now Drew's done a test. You did a test show.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to ask Drew to come back and do
a great
show. Of course.
And maybe even a little regular spot.
I hope so. Listen, maybe we've got the new Dr. Phil here, or Filthy Phil, as I call him.
Oh, boy.
Dr. Phil.
Well, Drew is, I mean, Phil's kind of just a big, bald blowhard. I mean, Drew's the real McCoy. He's a real doctor.
Of course he is. Of course he is.
No, ladies love him.
I think that Dr. Phil's definitely got a whole other side to him.
Phil does.
Oh, yeah.
Raging narcissist, please.
He probably has, a torture dungeon, under his house.
He probably likes to pee on people from great heights and all stuff like that, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's bad. That's bad.
Shut up.
Yeah, that's bad. But, no, I mean, the guy was an attorney. before he got into this. I mean, he trained people to go on trial.
Right,
you know, he's a horrible guy.
Right.
That's how he met Oprah. He gives the whole story.
Right.
He met Oprah during her beef trial.
In Texas.
Where she was going to go. Basically, what they do is there's organizations. There's a whole bunch of
manipulate
stuff.
Juries.
There's a bunch of stuff that goes on out in the world that nobody knows. I mean, people are thinking about the CIA and that kind of stuff.
What, was he training her to go on the jury?
To manipulate the jury.
Okay.
He worked for a company that basically...
No, he owned a company.
Or he owned a company that did this. They figure out... they can simulate a trial and be 95% accurate.
Whoa.
It's like, if you have a jury that's made up of this ethnicity,
mm-hmm.
that's made up of this socioeconomic bracket, this religion, this whatever, we can take it, we can simulate the trial, we can do the whole trial, we can tell you how it's going to turn out before it's going to turn out and how we can affect it before it's going to turn out. And so what they do is essentially what they do with some actors is like a media training thing. Oprah went out there. Oprah got in with his organization. He basically coached her on probably everything from what to say to how to sit and what to wear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, don't come up, don't be flashing around a Cartier watch or what have you. So they worked it all out. She found out that she liked the guy or whatever and told him to come on her show.
So he's,
and that's
not,
how it
he's
going.
Not a doctor of anything.
He's
social psychologist.
He figures out how to manipulate people, basically.
Not a clinician.
Yeah.
Right, right. Drew's a doctor. Drew, you know, he's not the love doctor. He's a regular boring doctor. Yeah. Molly, you're 25. I'm just saying you could do a lot worse than Dr. Drew. Put him on there once a week. Dr. Drew's Corner.
I'm with you.
Dr. Drew's Medical Corner with Dr. Drew. Hey, you know?
Hey.
Shaz and Drew.
Yeah.
No. I can be like the guinea pig.
He's good. That's right.
Today,
turn
Jack.
Your head
is
and cough, Jack.
Yeah, right. Today, Jack will be.
Yeah. What's going on, Molly?
Well, I'm 25, and I have a very horrible problem trying to. Date American men, and
because, are you from another country?
I'm from here in the States, but I'm an international studies major in college, and I'm going to be going on a college internship to Britain within the next year.
To England?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, what's the problem with American guys?
I just don't find them very interesting. The British. Guys I met at college, I find I'm more on their level. You know,
Molly, that's a lot of BS.
I just hear a chunky chick who's having a little difficulty.
Have you ever had a boyfriend?
Oh, yeah.
And what happened with that?
He did some cheating behind my back and stuff. And
it's an American guy, I knew it.
We have been engaged for about 2 weeks, and...
Hold on a second. Not only is her connection bad, but her sort of staccato delivery
is very bad.
Is compounding the problem.
And is she saying, am I getting this right, that she doesn't like American men and prefers British men?
Well, right. Sort of.
We all do.
I prefer, personality-wise, I feel more comfortable.
All right, good. You're going over there to study, right?
Molly, look, you had been traumatized by this guy. You've been hurt badly. Of course you're going to have trouble trusting anyone that reminds you remotely of someone like him, even if they're from the same continent. Was this was this your first love of your life?
No, it wasn't.
You've had other boyfriends?
Right.
And how have those gone?
So far, a lot of them gone really good.
Now, listen, who cares? Go to England and F your brains out.
But they just don't...
I don't care. Just go over there. Listen, all you bitter a-holes that call this show. Just go. Just go there. You don't like Americans? Good. Go. Go there. Bang every guy with a crooked tooth you can find. Who cares? You know why? She's not asking a question. That's why I get angry.
She's declaring
over and
over again.
Just sort of make this declaration. Then who cares? Just go do it.
Well, if you're going to England, what's the problem?
I was in England for the first time last summer, and I enjoyed it. It's expensive. No one tells you how expensive it is.
It's horribly expensive in England. It's really bad.
It's a weird
expensive.
Little secret over here, because you do sort of hear about
France
mm-hmm. and you do hear about other European countries. England sort of slides under the radar.
See, that's
England is expensive.
It's
weird. And it's for what... Here's the thing about England. It shouldn't quite be as expensive as it is because it's not that much different. Like, in the sense that it's marginally different, but it's not like...
Canada should be expensive if they're expensive.
Thank you.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. England's self-esteem is too high. We've got to bring it down.
No, I think that Canada should be extraordinarily cheap to go there. That's what I think.
Well, Canada is fairly cheap, yeah, is. Though. That's the whole thing.
It is.
I'm saying Drew's saying... If Canada's cheap, England should be a little cheaper. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying.
That's not what I'm saying.
He's a slap in the face
to
the Queen.
Listen to this. If you buy an English car here, it's cheaper to buy it here than it is in England.
Right.
That's how sad it is.
Yeah, it's expensive over there.
What kind of English car are you talking about?
A Range Rover, Jaguar.
Oh,
any English car is more expensive here because of the taxes in England.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway... What was I thinking? Anyway, England, nice. I like the guys. You know, you don't think it's funny about England?
Yeah, there's very manly guys over there. Like, I mean, you like them. They sit around and drink all day.
They're wise asses, too, those
guys.
Oh,
yeah.
They crack wise, like the waiters, you know? I mean, not in a real negative way, but just in a sort of they do a little ball busting, which is kind of funny. You don't get that. Like, here you get sort of passive anger.
Yeah.
Like, you go, like, if a waiter says, are you ready? And you go... Just give me 1 minute. They come back an hour later.
Yeah.
That's, in England, the guy might cross his arms and tap his foot and go, are you done yet?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he might screw with you a little bit, but it's not that passive. It's kind of fun. At least that's, when I know it's a cabbies all talk.
Oh, yeah, people very are sort of, friendly.
People
yeah,
are sort of...
Are.
Smart.
Yeah, a little bit smarter.
They're smart.
Yeah, like here, if you got a guy who's driving a cab, he's retarded. Like, there's a trail of drool. Out the side of the cab. I mean, you have to be retarded.
If you get a guy who's driving a cab, he doesn't speak English.
He doesn't speak right. English.
That's what you get here.
Yeah, and he was a village idiot of Pakistan, too.
Like, no. I got in a cab one time, and a guy was drinking a six-pack.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah. That's the type of cab drivers you get.
In Vegas, they're all on speed.
Yeah, here's what you get in this country in cab drivers. You get no English.
No
or
English.
If you do get English, you wish the guy didn't speak English. Because you get the crazy meth head who stinks real bad. He's complaining about his old lady. He's scratching himself, and he's all freaked out. That's the guy you get. England, it's just...
They're very chatty, and they know where they're going. Here, they don't know where they're going.
Now, I saw, that's one thing I was impressed by, is I saw guys driving around on scooters with maps.
Yes, that's their training.
And I thought they were delivering things. I thought it seemed like they're delivering parcels or something like that. They're studying.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the idea of studying to be a cab driver?
Here?
Like,
it's like a pretty, like,
substantial
like,
job.
Yeah, like a good
nobility,
job.
Nobility is considered over there, yes. Over here, you're just, what it is every other job didn't work, and now this. That's how you become a cab driver in the United States. And listen, they should charge more in England. I've changed my mind. They're not charging enough. Steven?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yep.
What's up?
My girlfriend gave me permission to be promiscuous, but she's out of state right now, and I'm wondering if she's probably doing that, because I'm not being like that, but I don't want her doing that, you know?
And I can't go show without punching that mic.
How old do you figure he is? Just what ways?
I was looking at the screen. He's 15.
He sounds like he's like 38.
Yeah, he's the first 15-year-old that we've heard tonight that actually sounds like their own sex, because the other boys were 15 and their voices hadn't
11.
Dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so, yeah, you sound more than 15.
Well, be that.
Are you just banging a 15-year-old and you're like 35 and just trying to get away with it?
No, I'm 15.
All right. So, listen. If your girl tells you to be promiscuous, then
she
either wants out or she's screwy.
Right.
So which one do you think it is? Do you think she wants out or do you think she's just effed up?
I don't know. I haven't seen her in a month because she's been out of state, and I've only talked to her twice.
You're done.
At 15, it's
toast.
Over.
It's toast.
Oh, all right. And for Jack,
it sounds very broken up about this. All right. And so...
Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah, okay.
The sun will rise another day, my son.
All right.
Go ahead.
And for Jack, I'm from Illinois. I was wondering if how come Mudvayne wasn't on Ozfest?
They
wanted too much money.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Different prices for different bands.
Oh yeah, of course.
We had this conversation last night with Perry
Farrell.
Farrell. Yeah.
We didn't get into the money though.
Well, he was talking about the difficulty of getting bands on a tour.
But it was never a financial thing
no,
at all.
He was alluding to that. I thought that's what he was saying. That's what I got.
Yeah, but Drew, if you got it, that means it wasn't it.
You gotta love it.
No, I'm with Drew on this one.
Oh, he was saying that he starts getting bands a year, starts booking a year in advance, you know. And he says, you know, some bands can do it and some bands can. And I was asking him, and maybe his answer was boring. Maybe your answer will be better. I said to Perry last night, is there any band that wanted to be on that you thought wasn't ready to be on or you didn't know of or you weren't impressed by that turned out to be a big hit, you know, some years down the road?
That you wish you'd taken.
Yeah, of course, that happens with everyone. I mean, it's not...
He said no.
I love you, Perry, but... It's the mama talking. Don't talk shit.
Talk about crappy radio. So, is there anybody that you that wanted to get on to Ozfest, or that you passed on, or that you almost had that just blew up 2 years later, or whatever?
We've had pretty good luck all around.
We actually, I must say that since we've started it, we have been just a little bit responsible for actually making people into their next stage of their career because of our second stage. And that's another reason that we keep going, because we give so many young bands the opportunity to go in and play in front of huge audiences, and then you see their careers grow, and you know, they go double platinum and triple platinum, and it's amazing.
Let's talk about this for a second, because this is interesting to me, and I like that you're sort of frank with your answers about stuff. This Ozfest could potentially, or does potentially, make you guys a pretty good chunk of change, but could potentially lose money on it?
Mm-hmm. Could potentially lose money, and if Ozzy didn't tour this way, Ozzy could sell these venues out on his own.
Right.
But if... Ozzy actually makes less money by doing this tour than on his own.
Why is he buying bands to go with him?
Because there's only so much that a venue can give you.
Right.
There's
Why
only
does
so
he do
much
it?
You can earn.
Why do it?
Why do it? Because it's like one of those questions that you asked before. Why does Ozzy still keep performing?
For the money.
Not only because of the money, and we have a lifestyle. Stop that machine. It's what else is he going to do? Be a plumber?
No, I'm saying...
He's 54.
But
he's
could perform. He doesn't need the other bands. He could make more money. He could perform and do these venues alone.
Yeah, he could. And the situation is, but how exciting to be a part of something and creating something that is helping other people. You give a little bit back.
Something that will go on,
and
perhaps,
on,
without
and,
you one day.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And you kind of... You're putting something back in.
All right. Fine. But a lot, so basically, this is a business endeavor. I mean, it's a labor of love as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to negotiate with these bands.
And it's really, really hard.
And if you pay everyone too much or what they want initially, then there's not going to be anything left for you guys.
Exactly.
At the end.
And it's really hard every year. And every year, people want more money and they hear what so and so got last year and they think they should have it this year. And it's really politically, it's really tough.
Now, what is like Chevelle? Is a smaller band or just
no? They went platinum.
No, they went. They started on our. This is a great story. They were on our second stage last year and got paid nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Zero.
Zero.
They should be paying you.
And
kind of thing.
It broke their album. They went on. Last week they were certified platinum.
Right.
And they're now opening our main stage and they're being paid.
Right, but I'm saying Chevelle is not as big a draw as, let's say, Korn.
No.
Is that correct?
Not yet, no.
Yeah, no disrespect to Chevelle.
They were
in here a couple months
ago.
Yeah,
and they're great. They haven't been around that long
to get
that audience.
You would pay Korn more than Chevelle.
Of course.
Okay. What kind of range are we in?
See, then I would tell you in a heartbeat, but I'd have all these managers and all these bands that would never work with me again.
Upper range, like I don't know if I mean I'm you know, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars, but what I mean is if you're just nothing specific, no band names, but if you're, you know, some bands are getting paid more than others. If you're an upper echelon band, what do you need to go on the tour?
How much?
Yeah, and if you say $500,000 is what we'll pay it. Then do you pay for all your transportation, your food, and all
that?
How does all that work?
We pay for their food.
Right.
We pay for, like, they eat, like, you know, with this food all day long being
right,
served.
Right.
So when they're at that venue, they don't have to have anything. We put all the food on their bus, all their drinks, everything. And they get paid X amount of dollars, too.
What's an upper end one?
Well, she puts the top on, then everyone's going to
want
that.
Shut up.
Yeah, then everybody's going to want that.
You don't get her in trouble.
Jackass. You're such a jackass,
don't get her
bro.
In trouble. There's certain...
All right, you try to do it. Try to do 10 seconds of good. Let's go punch the microphone. Do what
would
you're
you
best
stop
at.
Stop here.
Punch
you're
the microphone.
I will
you
go
idiot.
In tomorrow. Let me tell you, I will turn up, okay, in San Bernardino on the 5th of July, and they'll all be screaming at me if I tell you.
All right, wait,
they'll bail.
Idiot. All right, I'm mad at you now.
Damage.
Yeah.
Oh, we're on the air here.
What this is?
You missed all the gossip.
Jack had dropped the F-bomb in the...
I'm bad at that.
Drew, I don't talk if you ain't ready. That's my policy.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so that's my thing. When you're ready, I'm ready. All right. All right, let's just start it again. Drew, you know, here's the thing. I tell Drew, if he's not ready to go, I'm not talking. And he's like, yeah?
That's
wanna
fair
play,
enough.
Want to play tough? I can play tough, too. Go right ahead.
That's fair enough.
That's fair. All right. That's good. It's good policy, Drew. That's right. Not no one shows up. All right, Drew, punch the mic. Let's get on with the show. Come on. You're the lucky side.
I can't do it.
Do
I can't
it like
do it as
you
well
mean it.
Spontaneously. Yeah. There you go.
Thank you.
Why don't you hit Adam with it?
Oh, please. I'm mad at Drew's stupid diffusing whenever I'm trying to get anywhere on this show. Andrew?
Are you throwing a tantrum? A little
true,
bit.
True
that's I feel
crap,
a little bit
know?
Of a tantrum coming on here.
Do you want to talk about it, Adam?
No.
What are you feeling
come on,
right now?
Let's discuss it. You'll feel better.
Why does Drew have to punch the mic every night? Every night he whacks the mic. Every night he smacks the mic somehow. It seems like he does it. It always seems organic. Like, it doesn't seem like it's on purpose. But, yeah, every night he whacks the mic. Is that right?
Like, punch it.
Well, that's the thing about Drew. He's like, he has as many variations on whacking the mic as there is ways to do it. He hits it with his coffee mug. Sometimes he uses tools to hit it. Sometimes he punches it with his forearm. Other times he just grazes it with his hand. But he really, there's a lot of mic damage. Then he diffuses my good hard-hitting questions by telling the guests I don't have to answer.
That's what you're really pissed
about. That's what
about.
I'm mad
not,
about.
Not the mic punching.
But he does
come
that to
on.
Me all the time. Right
come
when I'm getting
on.
Somewhere good with somebody, if you're getting some sort of good molestation or money question or something, he goes, oh, you don't have to answer that. And the person always stops the second he says it.
Come on. You guys, good cop, bad cop. Come on.
You compliment each
good
other nicely.
Cop, dumb cop.
No,
cop,
stop
dumb
that.
Cop.
Stop that tantrum. Come on.
All right.
Don't be pissed.
All right. Well, Drew, if you admit you're sorry.
I'm sorry. But right. I want you to call Sharon Mom from now on.
All right, yes. Mom.
Okay.
All right.
Mumsy. Andrew?
Yeah.
You're 15?
I think you and Drew are the best. And I think it's great that you guys stand up for the morning after pill and support that. And I can't wait for your book to come out, Drew. And,
oh, thanks, Andrew.
Sharon and Jack, you guys are great.
Thank you.
But, anyways, my problem is my parents are, like, strict and religious and stuff, and they don't let me go to concerts or anything like that. And I was just wondering, like, how I can, like, convince them to, like, slack up.
How old are you?
15.
I'm 15.
15.
What kind of concerts do you want to go to?
Like, I wanted to go to the Warped Tour or just, like, small concerts and stuff, and they don't even let me go to...
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, they're uptight. You're going to have a hard time. I mean, here's the thing. You're sort of at the mercy of your parents. You could get the Osbournes. You can get everything.
Hey!
Everything. Devil Angel. You get everything in between.
You get what you get is the point.
You get what you get, and you kind of have to work with it for the time that you're at home because you're not going to do a whole lot of you're not going to mold your parents too greatly when you're 15 years old.
Basic rule needs to be go away to college.
Right.
Establish your life.
I just can't wait till I move out.
But here's the thing. Understand what your parents want out of you. Have a little covert life. I mean, your parents want you to be something different than what you want to be. That's fine. Just don't get busted. Get your grades good. Stay off their radar, in other words. Like, if they find a joint in your pocket when they're washing your jeans, you're on their radar. Stay off their radar.
Earn the trust.
Get your grades up, and then go away to college and let the debauchery begin.
Have you done something to make them kind of be real strict with you?
No, I never did anything to make them real strict.
No, they're just those kinds of people.
And let me tell you something. I've heard this from so many kids. I hear this all the time.
Right.
But you know what? As everyone says, go to college, be good, get those grades.
And the reality is that the parents keeping him contained from 15 to 18 and then releasing him at 18, that can be a good strategy because at 18 his judgment is different. He might make better choices for himself. Unfortunately, sometimes it's like a loaded spring. They go the other way. So.
Yeah. All right. Real quick, Roy's a cab driver, wants to set everyone straight. Roy?
He can't
speak English. He can't understand.
He certainly made his point.
All right. Well, touche, Roy. Let's take ourselves.
And it's for 29 palms, too, I mean.
His speed pipe, like, just, like, exploded. He's on fire. Let's take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Show, everybody. I want to thank Sharon and Jack Osborne for coming in
thank
here.
Thank you.
Always a nice time. And Sharon, you come back, promote your show whenever you like. Jack, you,
thank you.
Come back and promote whatever you want to promote whenever you want to do that. All right, Ozfest.
He's coming back tomorrow.
Ozfest coming up. Oh, yeah, Carney Wilson tomorrow night. Ozfest starting, out in Los Angeles this weekend at the Glen Helen. Yeah.
Didn't she just do Playboy?
Yeah. Yes, she did. We're going to have a nice long talk about that.
Good for her.
September 15th, the Aaron Show. Look for it. Look for the listings and times.
Phone number. Syndicated one show.
One more time, Drew.
323-960-4677.
If you want to be
thank
in the audience.
You, Drew.
So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. That kind of gays for suckers. Now you got to blow a guy and raise the kids.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.